We're doing the Navi Yeshaya, and this is a new semester. We're up to what's called the 14th chapter, but we'll take 5 minutes to introduce a little bit about prophets, prophecy, and what we're doing here, studying the prophet Yeshaya. So one of the tenets of the Jewish faith is that God gives prophecy. In other words, in some manner, God communicates with humanity, or used to communicate with humanity. Our tradition is that prophecy ceased with the destruction of the first temple. There were remnants. There were a few prophets left from the first temple period running into the second temple period, namely Haggai, Chayan, Malachi, the final three prophets. And after that, our tradition is that prophecy ceased. There is no longer prophecy since the period of the second temple. Now, prophecy was granted to people who were worthy of it. The general rule is that a person would only attain prophecy if they had perfected their traits, if they had become so pious and learned in Torah that they were worthy of prophecy. Now, we all know there are exceptions to that. God appears to Pharaoh in a dream, to Abimelech in a dream, to Lavan in a dream. So there are exceptions. The Jewish people just left Egypt, and they're not yet worthy of prophecy. They still have idols in their baggage. And they all attain prophecy at the sea. So there are exceptions, but the general rule is that in order for a person to attain prophecy, so then he has to be worthy of it. And even if a person spends his whole life being worthy, that doesn't mean that God will grant him prophecy. He could be worthy and not attain prophecy. The Talmud tells us that Hillel, the great Hillel, Tana, in the period of the Second Temple, he was worthy of prophecy, as were many of his students. He had tens of students who were worthy of prophecy, and yet they didn't attain prophecy because their generation wasn't worthy of prophecy. So there are many details that have to be fulfilled in order for a person to attain prophecy. Now, there are two types of prophecies. There's a personal prophecy and a public prophecy. Sometimes a person gets a prophecy, just as Jacob did as he was leaving his father's house. God appears to him with that fantastic dream of angels going up and down a ladder, and God gives him the prophecy that he will get the land of Israel. Throughout the book of Genesis, throughout Bereishis, the prophecies that we encounter are personal prophecies. They were given to each person for their own benefit. Adam, God speaks to Adam about his commandment. Abraham, God speaks to Abraham about his responsibilities. Isaac, Jacob, all the same thing. Until you reach the period of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe gets his prophecy in Egypt, that's the first time that a prophet is being sent as an emissary to the people with the commandment, go guide them. And Moshe refuses. Moshe says, why would anyone believe me? There's never been such a concept on earth that a prophet is sent to someone else. God, if you want to talk to them, tell them what you want. What are you telling me? And why would people believe me? And even if they believe me, after time they'll question me. And even if they don't question me right away, as the generations pass, people will look back and say, it never happened. He was fantasizing. He tricked the people. So Moshe spends 7 days arguing that he does not want the job of guiding the Jewish people until God promises him and says, you're going to take him back to this mountain where you see the burning bush. You see the snare, the burning bush, and so the mountain is going to be called Sinai, named after that snare, the burning bush. And they will all witness prophecy. You want me to talk to all of them? I will. When I give them the Ten Commandments on this mountain, and then they will not question you. You will see that everyone will accept you. They will not question your prophecy. And only after Moshe gets that guarantee is he willing to go with the job. And so Moshe begins. He is really the initiator. God is the initiator, but Moshe is the first one who actually does this, to give prophecy, telling someone else, God told me to tell you. Until Moshe's time, all prophets, whenever God wanted, he told the person what he wanted. And that's why Moshe is referred to as Adon Kol HaNevi'im, the master, the first of all the prophets yet to come. After Moshe Rabbeinu, we found in last week's parasha, God tells us, I will send you prophets. I will send my message to the people through prophets. But this was a new concept that begins with Moshe Rabbeinu. So the prophets that we have are all coming to reinforce what Moshe taught. So what do we need them for? Well, they're coming to stress concepts which were really in the Torah. Sometimes the Torah left the concept for the oral tradition. And then the prophets come along and delineate it. what the Talmud calls Asa Yechezkel Vas Micheyakro. Along came the prophet Yechezkel and gave us a verse. He didn't initiate the concept. The concept was around from Moshe's time. But Yechezkel, the Navi Ezekiel, or in our case, the Navi Isaiah, gave it in written form. He gave it as a prophecy, which later on became part of the Tanakh. Now, we had millions of prophets in our history. But the sages distilled. They went through the prophecies that were recorded, and they decided which ones had an eternal message. Only those were incorporated into the Tanakh. So there were two types of prophecies. There was a prophecy which the prophet was sent and he'd just give over his prophecy. And sometimes the prophet was told by God, I want you to write it down. And so when Isaiah got all of these prophecies, God tells him, write them down. And after all the prophets wrote down whatever prophecies they were told to write down, so the sages went through all the prophecies they had and said, these have an eternal message and these do not. And the ones that have an eternal message remained in the Tanakh for all time. So when we read the prophets, we are charged with a very difficult mission. Our mission is to understand what they are telling us today. And this is possibly the most difficult and the most dangerous mission in learning Torah. Because when one learns the prophets and says, I know what he's telling me. He's telling me to pick up my Uzi and go and shoot up all the enemies of Israel. Well, you understand that you can get into a lot of trouble. You could end up doing fanatical things. You can end up killing and doing all kinds of crazy things in the name of the prophet. So when we say that you were supposed to get an eternal message from the prophecies, that doesn't mean that any Tom, Dick, or Harry can open up the prophet and say, I know what he's telling me. About 15 years ago, I sat on a bus with someone who started telling me his interpretation of all the prophets. We had a long bus ride. We were both heading to Bar Mitzvah together. And he was sitting there. He spent the whole bus ride there and the whole bus ride back, about 2.5 hours, telling me what the prophets meant we should do today. And I ended the bus ride thinking the guy belongs in a loony bin. But he was convinced that he knew how to interpret the prophets for today. So it's a difficult task. On the one hand, the message is eternal, and we have to look for what they're telling us. On the other hand, we have to be very cautious, because you can really go off the handle. You could really come up with far-out conclusions if you don't have a tradition and you haven't learned enough to know what they're saying. Give yourself about 30, 40 years learning Torah, and then you'll start seeing whether your interpretation holds water or not. As you learn, you should think to yourself, is this what he's saying? Maybe that's what he's saying. But don't assume you got it right until you've been learning 30, 40 years of Torah, and then you'll start thinking about whether you got the right direction. Torah takes time. We will learn in the parsha that after 40 years learning from Moshe Rabbeinu, the people of Israel started understanding what he was teaching them. They were learning from the top teacher, and it took them 40 years. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, "Velo natan Hashem lachem lev ladat." Ad hayom hazeh, till today you didn't get it. Moshe says, 40 years I've been teaching you, and now you're starting to get it. So Torah takes time. If you're talking about the greatest wisdom in the world, don't assume you could get it in a day. This isn't something that can be distilled to a sound bite. You remember the story we said last night about Wolf Blitzer, right? You can't get it down to a minute. It'll take years. And nonetheless, when we learn, we will try to understand what the prophets are telling us. So with that introduction, let's turn to the Navi Yeshayah.